tent is up. We've already snacked before heading into the evening. Everything starts at 6 o'clock, which is coming up really quickly. 15 minutes to go. I'm standing by a gorgeous helter skelter made, it appears to be entirely of wood.
Yeah, it is. And it goes up in a whole lot of different sections. And the guys that do it, they put it up every year, and they're incredibly kind of professional at it. All of this stuff is vintage, so it's 1920s
and 1930s. And 1920s and 1930s fairground, before we've even got in.
Yeah, exactly. And it's all free. That's the other thing. So
I just bumped into you. Who are you?
Oh, I'm Charlie Glasson. I'm one of the four founders with Keris Matthews, Steve Abbott, her husband, and Caroline, my wife.
And what was the kind of thinking behind the Good Life experience?
Steve, Keris's husband, and I were both in the music industry 25 years ago. And I didn't like the music industry, so I left. And one of the things I didn't like about it was I just didn't really meet many like-minded spirits. I thought that people there would want to talk about music, but instead they wanted to talk about sales figures. And then I bumped into Steve literally 2 years ago. And we got on again after 20 years, having really got on well in the day. And I said I wanted to do a festival. But I didn't have the know-how for the music, but I wanted to do a festival of food, culture, literature, and particularly the great outdoors. And Steve said, well, that's funny, we've been wanting to do it as well, but we can do the music. So we got together, we did it last year with about sort of 4 months of preparation, went really well, got about 2,000 people, response was overwhelmingly positive, and so we grew it from there. And our idea is to do something that is, but so the idea, it's called the Good Life Experience. And the idea is that it's based around all of the things that go into making a good life. So everything from, on the one end of the spectrum, cigar rolling, and on the very other end of the spectrum, yoga and Tai Chi and that sort of thing. And so we're trying to do things that we think are enriching for people. Caroline and I wrote a book called The Family Guide to the Great Outdoors a few years ago. So our big thing is the outdoors and kind of getting people back to the outdoors. I mean, kids in particular, but adults as well. And we're also particularly interested in craft and making of things. So those two things have become sort of big components of it. And we have, this year we've got, for the outdoors thing, we've got everything from raft building with the Meek family, who have taken a year out to travel around Britain, left their jobs, to axe throwing, climbing wall, abseiling, just about anything you can think of, archery. And then for the other side of it, that we've got what other side was I talking about there? The great outdoors and
there's the food aspect.
The food aspect. So we've got a farm shop here and a pub in the village, yeah. And they're quite big enterprises. And so we are literally providing all of the food except for two stands ourselves. So our butchers have hand pressed 2,000 hamburgers for this weekend. And we're trying to... the craft aspect, that's what I was thinking about. So Caroline and I are really interested in the idea that craft is kind of disappearing from Britain in a weird way. I mean, craft's kind of a bit of a dirty word because it means kind of odd-shaped pots and that sort of thing. But we think that craft is things like blacksmiths, proper woodworking, and, you know, embroidery, all those sort of things, enamelling. And so we've got people doing those, but actually showing people how to do those things. So people will be able to learn how to do those things. They'll be able to make their own tote bags. They'll be able to see how you fire vitreous enamel. They'll be shown a proper blacksmith working. And our idea is then to really look at our customer in the eye. And I think that what we're trying to do is we're trying to appeal to people who listen to Radio 4 and Radio 6, read The Guardian and Grazia. You know, people who have a kind of bit of fun, but don't actually take themselves too seriously, but want to be looked at in the eye, because it's our feeling that a lot of the kind of festivals aren't really for people who are culturally grown up. They're kind of big bands. I mean, you know, there are clearly ones that are absolutely amazing. You know, Hay's brilliant, Glastonbury's brilliant, but none of them combine all of these aspects that go into making a proper good life.
There's definitely pockets in a lot of festivals out there. Greenfields and Glastonbury?
Oh, no, not Glastonbury. I mean, Glastonbury's a different thing entirely. And we've got people here who we met at Glastonbury, in fact. But I think that a lot of these other festivals are ostensibly kind of rock festivals they're brilliant. And I love them and I go to them. But they're buying branded bands in. And then in order to kind of soften often the approach. They put a few things about books and all the rest of it, and we're trying to kind of do that sort of thing seriously. So we've got some. We've got Dylan's Bookshop here, which is a really well-known antiquarian sort of Thomas Dylan mobile bookshop. We've got Caught by the River, who I think are the best curators of really good books about nature and the environment. But they also happen to be kind of mayhem causers and record label owners, so they're going to play some records as well. So it's trying to, and we've got the Idler Academy.
Yeah.
It's trying to kind of bring those things together.
Got so a couple of the Idlers. Yeah.
They're really good, but I think the thing is that it doesn't have to all be too serious.
No, and so, that was the, I mean, when I bought my tickets to come here, it was off the back of a friend of mine, Tom Herbert, who said he was going
to
be here.
Tom's coming tonight,
we know each other from the Do Lectures.
Yeah.
And
I was
kind of, okay, let me look at this, because it sounds too good to be true in a way. It says, if I could kind of look at it with my totally sceptical mind, what does this mean to me right now? I love the fact that there's a kind of behind the scenes on the makersphere as such. It sounds very analog, which so many people are jumping on the analog bandwagon, which you haven't done in any of the literature. It's not like, turn off your devices and come and...
No,
come
not
on.
At all.
You
because,
haven't done
because
that.
Because frankly, you know, we want people to Instagram anyway.
Exactly.
And we love
And
Instagram.
There is 4G, which is kind
and,
of really
and
weird.
We've got also, actually, you've got 4G over there if you're on O2. You haven't over here.
Well, that's where I pitched my tent, depending on the 4G.
Yeah, absolutely. So what I felt was... We're trying to be honest.
Yeah.
So Caroline, Steve, Keris and I are from quite sort of different backgrounds. So I'm a prime minister's great-great-grandson who lives in a castle. Steve is a kind of working-class boy from Luton who's in a multiracial punk group. But all of us are interested in this idea of sort of looking people in the eye, both in terms of friendliness, but also in terms of kind of not looking down on people and sort of trying to kind of show people sort of freedom and liberty and a sort of, you know, really sort of educate them in a gentle way. And that's why I say The Guardian and Grazia, because I think that they're kind of, it's perfectly okay to read Grazia, yeah, but you need to read The Guardian as well.
Yeah. That's interesting, because that's kind of appeased my thoughts, and if I was going to kind of nudge towards anything, I'll say it sounds a little bit elitist, but from what you're saying,
well, I mean,
this
I think
diverse
one of the
background
reasons it isn't elitist. I mean, we've kept the ticket prices unbelievably
that's
low.
One thing that made
it's
me think hang on a second
quid.
Yeah.
And one of the ways we've done that is this week, so Caroline and I have got 6 children. This week, our children and their friends and us have worked all week on setting this. So every bit of decoration on the... this is Caroline.
Hello. Very pleased to meet you.
Hello. Hi.
You okay?
Yeah.
Still working. Every bit of decoration has been done by us. So, you know, from hanging up the banner in the main tent... literally right the way through to kind of, well, you'll see it all. I mean, we've done it all.
I can't wait for the 6
we've
o'clock.
We've got 3 huge hand-painted signs, handmade signs. You know, they're commissioned and made by friends of ours. So we're not going to make money this year.
Yeah.
But we should get to break even next year.
So what are the numbers this year compared to last year?
Well, it's grown substantially. I think...
What, 45 quid a ticket is going to
yeah,
though, isn't
I think
it? Is it scalable?
It is scalable, yeah, because we've got, you know, we've got the intent. I mean, what we have to do is to learn to cope with each thing, you know, it's a fascinating learning curve. So my sister is the principal site manager. My general manager, who runs the farm shop and the pub, is the principal general manager. You know, we literally do everything. We cooked for all the 18 members of the sort of crew last night. I think one of the things is, and we need to make money, obviously, but I can honestly say that we genuinely like people. And I think you either like people or you don't.
Yeah.
I mean, and a lot of successful business people don't like people. That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we actually like people. So I'd like to think that we're good party throwers, not necessarily in a kind of jumping on the table and kind of, you know, but that we will give as much as we can to people. So in terms of the numbers, last year we had about 1,500 people, and I think we'll get about 4,000 this year. So it's really tremendous growth. And we would scale it up. We wouldn't get too big. I mean, we're never going to get like Glastonbury. But I mean, if we could get sort of 10,000 people, then I think we're able to treat them better, of course. I mean, we've had tremendous favours pulled by Public Service Broadcasting and Wilco to play.
Which is so. I mean, I only bought the vinyl for Public Service. I've got a friend who actually plays on the album.
It's really
Peter
good.
Gregson. Yeah. So, but wow, I know. I absolutely love it. It hasn't left the deck. So
no, I mean,
I didn't know they were here until this morning when I was browsing in the car.
Well,
on
that's
the way.
Because Keris. you know, Keris has supported them.
Yeah.
Steve's very well liked in the music industry, and they were prepared to buy into it. And I mean, people like Tom Herbert don't charge us, Ben Fogle, you know, they're coming because they're like, okay, I get this.
Yeah.
And hopefully they'll have a great time and their kids will have a great time. And also, you see, we are actually genuinely a festival for families.
Yeah.
And not because we've got a bouncy castle and someone telling kids stories, but because they're going to be doing the same thing as the adults.
Yeah.
And it seems that's the way that we brought up our kids, was to kind of do the same thing.
Yeah.
And
it's going to be late nights for some of them tonight.
Yeah,
I think.
Late nights. But yeah. But also, you know, we've got the only children only thing we've got is we think the only ever children's cafe in Britain. So it's going to be served by children, for children, and no adults are allowed in there.
Oh,
so
wow.
It was an experimental idea to see whether it descends into chaos. It's brilliant. Adults can look in, but they can't go in.
Two words, and food fight, is that likely?
Well, I just think, you know, we put out the word for volunteers, and we got 80 volunteer kids within literally about 2 weeks. Newsround came to do, the brilliant TV show came to do a feature on it. I think they're going to do more. And so it's really kind of, that I think is a social experiment, because that may well descend into chaos. I assume most people won't mind if their food's a bit late, but actually the great thing about kids is if they're told how to do something, they want to do it right.
Yeah.
So, and it's quite interesting. So if you tell a child this is how you play this game, then when the next child comes into a room, they'll say no, you're doing it wrong. Whereas adults are kind of more used to just saying, oh well, I do it better like this. But kids will probably just teach each other that, you know, that the way of them doing it is just the right way. So that's our only children's only thing. And then they can go, they can do, you know, climbing wall, they can do axe throwing, they can do archery, they can do all these things.
I'm looking forward to it. I mean, for myself, I enjoy a bit of bushcraft in my own spare time when possible.
Yeah.
And to have the ability to take my kids into an area where it feels a little bit safer, we can go back to the comfort of our tent.
I
and
think
then
that's right. I mean, I think the thing is that a great festival has this feeling of anarchy, but is completely safe.
Oh, do you know what my lad, he's mini mentally on Twitter, incidentally, he said when we arrived here was he ran straight into the middle of the field there and stood in front of this incredible tree-lined hill view.
Yeah.
And he said, we can do anything we want.
Yeah, absolutely, they can. And I think, you know, that we don't, we've obviously, you know, health and safety, although it's a dirty word, is a good thing.
Yeah.
But you know, we have campfires, and you know, we've got in that campsite over there are actually some ponds, and we haven't had to fence them, because my feeling is that people don't fall into fires. You know, most of these people have got this far without falling into a fire or falling into a pond.
Yeah. You know, most of us come from an era where there wasn't any health and safety.
And they're going to be all right here, aren't they? So what I liked last year is the way that people just kind of make up their own mind what they're going to do.
Yeah.
So we've sort of put things out, but we don't overly force people to kind of to do them in the way that we want them to do.
Yeah.
You know, so you just come and do it. Do it how you want to do it. You know, see what you like. If you don't like that hay bale there, you can move it over there. We're not going to say, you know, hay bale's there.
Are there still tickets?
Yes, there are.
So yeah, your daughter's doing the social media as well. So where can people find you, and if they did want tickets, where do they go?
Oh, they just come on the day. There are tickets here, because we've actually got a license for 10,000 people, which is a fairly standard license to get. We couldn't handle 10,000 people, but I mean, I imagine we'll get a few hundred walk-ins, because the weather's incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, this is kind of, you know, we're deeply blessed.
I'm touching wood. I can touch an antique fairground.
It's been a nice week actually. Since it's been nice since Monday, and I never worry about the weather, because I think that our crowd anyway will be quite good at kind of just being, you know, they're presumably quite connected to the countryside. I mean, look, you know, there's no one dressed up in festival chic around here.
No, very down to earth.
You know, yeah, exactly. People are just wearing.
What are you wearing?
Clothes.
It's like a work.
This is actually a friend. I have a company called Peddlers, which is a sort of online thing, and we have a store in London, and we sell a huge amount of vintage stuff, and I sell a lot of these jackets. So this is just a French farmer's jacket that I bought, you know, for a few euros. And I do keep quite a lot myself. I've got a wardrobe full of these things. But as I've been working on site all week, I haven't really changed. So I am a bit grubby, but I don't
know. No, I'm saying it's exactly. It's proper down to earth.
Yeah, someone said I looked like a carpenter yesterday. Yeah. But
well, I really appreciate what you've done. I haven't even gone in yet.
You'll find Keris in the main tent. She
excellent.
Just was there a minute ago. Cool. But let's talk at any time over the weekend.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much. Thanks for everything. Great to meet you. Have a great weekend. Is this your family here?
Yeah, thank you.